Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, Lego. You're rolling with J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It is a Thursday, November 13th edition of the show. Beautiful outside. It's one thing you can take some joy in. How nice it is outside. We've come from the icy cold into some really mild temperatures that are, that's that roll the window down. Let the wind blow through your hair like it does John's and it does Brad's. Doesn't do that to mine anymore. And I tell you what, you have to think about those good things in life. Because right now, as you know, go on, hit the growl, Brad. Let's see if it's still alive. Let's see if the bear is still alive. Ain't no growl. Because there was no effort.
I agree with that executive decision, by the way. A growl would have disappointed me to the utmost degree.
See, that's a program director decision. Executive producer mine just played along, give it a growl.
Yeah.
Gristown.
That's right.
Keep faith alive. Keep hope alive.
Oh, Lord.
No growl today because no effort last night.
Like this dove, fly away and be at rest.
And I'm supposed to get my joy from that? Bet not. Better have some joy coming from some other source. You understand what I'm saying?
We're going to get you a different prescription. Maybe some Lexapro or...
I was saying that about the referee Xanax. At our season opening sixth grade team. Need a new prescription.
That's right.
Grizz lose 131-95. Ja was not out there. There's no excuse. Even the head coach was questioning his team's effort after the game. We'll take you through it.
Yeah.
We'll see what's left. We'll see if there's still a pulse. We must move on. On to Cleveland.
Oh, God. Do we have to?
Well, now remember.
This was like a death march.
Remember, Zach Jesus Edey.
Man.
Is coming back.
That's exactly what y'all, not you. And when I say y'all, I don't mean you.
And I shouldn't play like that.
That's really. Right. Of all people.
Now that I've graduated this position. But, guys, we're trying to find some levity.
That's right. We have to find some levity.
In hard times.
It's the only, I mean, you know, it hasn't been this bad. All things considered, that 23-24 season doesn't count because it was lost, right? Ja had missed 25 games of the season, and then he got hurt. So we were willing to say that one doesn't count. It's been probably since the year before Ja got drafted that it's been this bad. And honestly, it gets worse because the Suns are 7-5. Even in a year where you could at least tell yourself, oh, well, fine, it'll be work. Dude, right now you are projected to end up with the number 9 and 12 pick in the NBA. You ain't out tanking the Brooklyn Nets. You ain't out tanking the Washington Wizards. You ain't out taking the New Orleans Pelicans. So you're like, as far as I'm concerned, you're playing for fourth. And guess what? It's a 3-man draft. That's the depressing part of this. I mean, you get lucky. You got lucky with Ja.
Dallas got lucky last year.
Dallas got lucky with Cooper Flagg. So, you know, if any franchise deserves some more luck, Feels like it would be this one.
I tell you, I'd rather take that chance.
But, hey, that decision may be being made for you.
Zachary could be the savior. That's what they're banking on.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into all of it. We'll get into all of it today here on the show. Drew Hill's going to join us at 11:25. We'll get his thoughts on it. Obviously, he's covering it. He's the lead Grizzlies reporter for the Daily Memphian. So we'll get his vantage point on the season. I can't promise we'll take your calls today. We'll see how it goes. It's been discussed. It's been bandied about. But it does feel like we're getting into a take calls kind of era right now with the Memphis Grizzlies. You don't take calls when things are going good, by the way. Like, that's never a, you know, we've been doing this show for a long time.
It's all joy, so everybody's happy.
And, like, yeah, like, it's
one thing.
When everybody just agrees that things are awesome, it doesn't really make for compelling content.
A lot of people are blaming Isolo. Some are blaming going higher to Zach Lyman.
Interesting.
So if there is, you know, sort
and
of.
And I'm sure there are some people blaming players, too.
Absolutely. John Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr.
Oh, we're going to get to him.
We're
going to get to him.
We better.
Because I got to get some things off my chest.
So it might be interesting to see who the fans are sort of pointing the finger at most.
Yeah, no, maybe we'll do that.
Looking at it that way.
Maybe we'll do that a little bit later in the show. And then at 1:25, Bennett Doyle from Grind City Media will be in here. And we'll patch this up with Bennett. And,
he's been taking calls, too, afterwards. Ask him about it. It's rough out here.
Yeah, that's
Grizz calls.
That's right. Now, I think the Grizz calls, like, you know, when you take the Tiger postgame calls, right, it's more of like, you know, the CCP, right? The minute that anybody gets, you know, too critical, it gets cut off. I think the Grizz give you a little bit more of a leash.
I don't know.
No? We'll see.
I think they let you speak your piece, but then it's over. Don't be rambling on.
Right. So Bennett will join us at 1:25. So that is the show today on November the 13th. We got L. Jason Smith, a.k.a. the Grizz Beat, but got beat. I don't know how we're.
That's mine, but go ahead. I mean, I don't mind writing material for others.
I can't use mine.
You know, some of the greats have done it.
I can't use.
That's good.
If I use mine, it will get us canceled.
Did you see the J. Will news?
Which J. Will?
White Chocolate.
What's that?
Your J. Will.
Okay.
The man on your wall.
Yeah, because there are two J. Wills, and I have very extreme opinions of each.
We'll get to it in the rundown.
Oh, we got news?
That's a little tease.
Is
for
it
you.
Good news?
He's talking,
or is it like Tony Allen news?
I'm talking about something that's relevant.
Okay.
You know?
We'll
get to that. J. Will in the news.
All right. Looking forward to it. Really anything other than this. 131-95 against the Boston Celtics. No Ja Morant. We talked about this yesterday when he got put on that questionable injury report. We said, hey, this could be the game where, you know, with the Cavs and Spurs coming up, that they could rest him and get him ready for that with the return of Edie coming.
Especially with him looking to be, you know, not 100% right now. I mean, you can see it on him, whether it's his back, his ankle, whatever it is. You can see him. You'd like to have him, you know, once Edie is back at the fullest strength you can have him at this point. So it made some sense to us to further underline your point.
And he did sit. And, you know, amazingly, the number didn't even change that much. It only went from 7.5 to 8.5, which I'm just like, is the market watching this Grizzlies team with Ja Morant? Now take him off. I can't really explain why that number didn't go from 7.5 to 12.5, but if anybody was out there paying attention, you got a gift last night because it was really domination from the outset. Celtics were up 14 in the first quarter. They ended up leading by 21 at the half. They extended the lead by the end of the third quarter. It's a bad night in the NBA when you get beat in every single quarter. I mean, that's just like, you know, even in a blowout, like usually the team that's getting beat wins the fourth quarter or something. This was belt to ass all the way through in Boston. And we said coming in that it was probably, now we thought Ja would play, but we thought it was probably the most winnable game left on this
road trip.
Yeah, on this four-game road trip.
For sure.
And you weren't remotely competitive. There's a lot to get into, Jason, but it just they didn't show up. Like the Grizzlies simply did not show up in this game. And I know we can sit here and we can say, well, they didn't have this, and well, they didn't have that. But like, dude, it used to not matter. Like, that was the thing about the Grizzlies in 2021 and 2022. Like, Ja missed a lot of games, and they would still come out with Tyus Jones in that group, and they would still win games, you know? So they would win so often that we would come in here, not us, but a random person would come in here and say, is this team better without Ja Morant? I mean, they would ask questions like that. It was a narrative. And now this Grizzlies team just lays down. They just lay down. And again, I know they're missing Zach Edey, they're missing Ty Jerome, and they're missing John Morant. But it's like, at what point does competitive pride kick in for a team that's on this kind of a slide? It didn't last night.
Yeah, no, you said the key thing. You said they're not competitive. They don't even look like they're interested in being competitive. They didn't last night. I think the thing that alarms you the most, and we had sort of identified it going into the game, was, okay, this looks like a game that maybe you can control the boards and at least have an advantage inside. The Celtics have nothing. Surely this is the game that Jaren Jackson Jr. can come and dominate, really get settled into the offense. Keep in mind, going to be the number one option with Ja off the floor. Like, that should become easier, right? And you get a two-rebound performance from him. But more importantly, you're out-rebounded as a team by a Celtics team that's just outworking you. You did not look interested in competing. You've got a head coach that, again, is trying to establish himself here as a rookie head coach. And now it's not just those two top players that we were talking about didn't look like they're on the same page. John, it looks like it's trickled down to the entire team, because you had him afterwards at pretty much asking how the Celtics are what we aspire to be. In terms of what their effort last night, you know, in terms of getting to loose balls, in terms of everything, the Celtics were the things that we aspire to be: faster than the other team, harder working, and better organized. That's a tough pill to swallow, but it was, because it's trickled all the way down the team. That's why we said this is dangerous. That's why we said you had to get everybody on the same page quickly, because you could lose the roster. And so, you know, to be out-rebounded the way they were by that Celtics team, 58-41? 34, 12, and second chance points? That's what the Houstons and them are supposed to do to you. Not the oh my gosh, the stripped-down Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Who have nothing in the middle. So back to your point, yeah, not competitive. Don't look interested in it, and you wonder now, does Isolo have a whole roster that's no longer in? We know, and you say it, John, and it is important to keep saying, they don't have their pieces, and that's why I think those that are ready to throw out Isolo already, I say it's too early. You've got to see it with Edie. You've got to see it with a little more, with some shooting out there, Ty Jerome, more shooting than you've got. That said, though, it looks, forget us, looks like he's losing the roster already.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm just going to tell you that was an embarrassment.
It was an embarrassment.
Last night. You know, you had your broadcasters out here trying to, I was listening to a little bit of Hasseltine, a little bit of Michael Wallace, and then even Pete and Brevin.
Yes.
They're out here trying to, as optimistic as they'd like to be, they're out here trying to find the words. They're saying, they can't find the words because it's an embarrassment.
Before the game started, I was actually watching the game on the Celtics stream. Our friend Brian Scalabrini's on the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Before the game started, he said, you know, back in the day, man, I would say that this team without Ja Morant is dangerous coming in here tonight. But he goes, I don't think they're going to be able to do much tonight.
Right.
Like, the whole league
it's crazy.
Is on notice.
Here you go. You're 13 games into the season. Like, think about where this could go. You just got started.
Yep.
And this is already here.
Yep.
That's why I'm joking about Zach Edey and being the savior. Like this one thing that can save us. That's putting too much on him, first of all. That is so unfair.
Right.
In terms of the expectation.
And Ty Jerome, honestly. Ty Jerome's an $8 million player.
Bro, we're waiting on Jaren Jackson to get unlocked and to get joyous for, you know, Zach Edey's return. Oh, that's when Jaren's going to flip the switch? Come on, man. You got the contract. Like, what are we talking about here? So that's it's the most disappointing. That was an embarrassing effort, if you could call it that, last night. There was no effort. You had no chance by the end of the half.
Yep.
And it looks like the coach has now not got the top two guys not on the same page with him, but an entire roster, perhaps.
Yeah.
This is ugly.
Yep.
Like you said, you got Cleveland and the Spurs next.
Yep.
Spurs just let, Steph come back and get him 46 last night?
Yeah.
Like, their antenna going to be up.
That was their first home loss.
It's crazy when you look at teams that you looked at were behind you. And I know once they got Wimby, we all feared what they could be. But they've made some good picks around that have passed you. You know, at one time you looked at OKC and said they're behind you. Now, it's amazing how fast the league has passed us by.
Yes, it is.
To a point where Brian Scalabrine is saying, ain't going to be no effort here.
Yeah.
13 games into this season, it's a wash for them.
Yeah.
That's an embarrassment.
And
that ain't just on Tuomas Isolo, let me tell you that.
It's an organizational sharing.
Thank you very much. Been saying it for a long time.
And an organization includes executives, it includes coaches, and it includes players. You know who the Celtics don't have? They don't have Jason Tatum. While we're sitting around talking about Ty Jerome and Zach Edey and Ja Morant, they don't have Jason Tatum. I mean, they're starting guys like Jordan Walsh and Nehemias Queta.
I learned the name.
None of you listening know who those people are, okay? And they – And they came out and they absolutely punked the Grizzlies, who, by the way, had their $50 million man on the court.
Now, he gets that next year, but maybe that's what he's waiting on.
Well, let's talk about that, because this is...
Well, remember, you had to raise him first to extend him, so the big money kicks in.
He's going
to
make...
As far as I understand, that kicks in next year, $49.50.
Right, exactly. He's going to make $49.50 the next 2 years. $35
this year, though.
But, man, and I did make sure that I got that tweet right. It was next year, but that money is obviously coming. And so I count him as a $50 million player, right?
Absolutely.
I don't think there's a $50 million player in the NBA who, if he was missing his first option, wouldn't be able to muster 20 points. Watching Jaren Jackson Jr. last night was an affront, quite honestly. That dude was getting bodied by 6'6 Jordan Wall. A dude with no eyebrows was absolutely, and maybe that's irrespective of the actual basketball, okay? But it was a sight to see. He was bodying.
I've had alopecia,
Jaren.
So that hurt.
Jaren was fighting for his life against Jordan Walsh. He committed two offensive fouls trying to hook around this 6'6 second round rookie who's making $2 million a year. Sam Hauser gets switched on, and this isn't the first half. I stopped watching after the first half because it was already over.
No one blames.
But in the first half, Sam Hauser got switched onto our $50 million man. This is food, right? Sam Hauser. Dude, he turned the ball over because Sam Hauser pulled the chair on him. This dude's lack of post game, this dude's lack of offensive ability in year 8, making $50 million a year, you want to talk about effing atrocious? We have done a great job, and I think it's been deserved. And I just got to get this on my chest, and I appreciate you letting me do it. We've done a great job of laying most of this at the feet of Ja Morant. And Ja Morant is the one who's going off in the huddle and sitting by himself. And
well, he took this public.
Yes, and he did.
That's why he's taking the brunt of the heat. But I'm with you that Jaren is sort of hid behind
He's done an amazing job of somehow skirting accountability
for
his role
in
this.
I agree with
that. And if you watch that game last night, dude, you're making $50 million a year now, right? As of next year, you're going to make $240 million over 5 years. Your average is 40, and it's kicking up to, like you said, 50 for the next 2 years. Yet somehow he has escaped any kind of accountability from the fan base. Like, this dude is a non-factor. He's a $50 million player, and he didn't even give you a chance in that game last night. He's getting bodied by Alex Caruso in the postseason. He's getting bodied by Jordan Walsh in the regular season, and you have given him $240 million. We call this dude a unicorn. Bro, the only thing he has in common with a unicorn is that him being great is just as much of a myth. And you're paying him $50 million. I hate watching Jaren Jackson Jr. play basketball, bro. I hate it. Now, if you want to say it's part of this system or whatever, dude, you make $50 million. Stop blaming the coach. Go score 30. There's nobody else. There's nobody else on this team. How can you not score 30 against the Celtics? Nehemias Queta? Who? You don't even, it's like, and disengaged. Out there on the court, just disengaged, man. Making $50 million. This is Memphis, man. This is the city that celebrated Zach Randolph, that celebrated grit and grind. And you show up in sleeveless Sherpas and come away with two rebounds against the Celtics front court, starting an undrafted, two undrafted rookies, basically, man. Not for me. I'm out. And what can I do? 5 years, $240 million. What can I do? But, yeah, I mean, we got a lot of blame to go around. We got Jaren. We got Ja. We got Isolo. We got a Rasha that's not whole. But make sure that when you fix your lips, I see a lot on Isolo. I see a lot about it. And I'm not saying he's not without it. But, bro, you have two $50 million players. Get some nuts, man. Produce. At least Ja, when he's out there, I'm not saying he's going to make a three, but I know he's going to have a double-double. He's going to have, 20 and 10. He's going to go out there and produce. Jaren's coming away with two boards, dude. Unacceptable. And, no, like, the fan base is like, well, we've just accepted it. How can you accept it? He's making $50 million. You paid him $50 million. Unbelievable. It was hard to watch last night from him specifically, because that's the one where you're like, hey, go be that dude, right? Go be that 50 man. But he can't. He's not a playoff riser.
And y'all going to keep chasing unicorns. That's what he is. He's a unicorn. A myth. So anyway, that was my frustration watching that game last night from Jaren. Maybe, you know, Ja comes back, Edie comes back, and he can become the best version of himself again. But I don't know. This team feels cooked. It just feels cooked. So anyway, we'll come back. Drew Hill's going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about all of this, the loss last night. Where, you know, who gets the majority of the blame? What's going to happen? All that and more with Drew on the other side. J&J, 99.9 FM, yes.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
He is Drew Hill, lead Grizzlies reporter for the Daily Memphian. And I gave Frank the week off in terms of, you know, false headlines. I'm going to give you that same courtesy.
We need it right now.
Things are so bad that if I were to do that, I would say, like you wrote, you know, everybody calm down. Things are going to be just fine when Ty Jerome gets back. But you wouldn't write that, you know. And again, things are just too sensitive right now to joke. That was embarrassing last night.
That was a bad performance. That one hurt because it was what looked like a break in the schedule. Right. This is the truth. I see Jason, I think, has my story from last night pulled up.
There's a key word in it, Drew. I want to quote you. Mess.
Yeah, it was a mess. It was a mess.
Mess.
I found myself like not even knowing what to say last night, and realizing that no one really wants to read that.
Look at my questions for you, yeah. Drew Hill. I have 10 questions lined up. There's one word.
Mess.
Mess. Yep, I quoted you.
That's what the season's been. That's especially what it was last night. It was a disaster. We can take it up from mess. It was a disaster.
Yeah, it was. And look, they were an 8.5 underdog at close. It was obviously that's probably the smallest number they'll have probably the next two games is as an 8.5 point dog. But, you know, that doesn't preclude you from competing in the game. And that's the part that is the most disturbing. And I think it's what obviously Tuomas Iisalo said after the games, like, you know, we just didn't. We got out rebounded by a team of dwarves, basically. Is what he said. Like, they're all small, and we got out rebounded and out hustled.
It was a mess. The Celtics started two players with fewer than 20 career starts yesterday. They're 5-7 going into the game. even if they're 8.5 point underdogs, that's a game that's gettable. Like, clearly, because Boston is not very consistent.
Right. Right.
And they just no showed the game. I mean, they the problem is too, and I'm not. We don't need to be in the business of making excuses for last night, because not putting forth a good effort or hustle is inexcusable. But offensively, they're just they have no threat when Ja's not out there on the ball, because especially without any other point guards, no Ty Jerome, no Scottie Pippen, no Ja, they're just throwing the ball around the perimeter last night and shooting threes, and outside shooting has been a weakness all season long. And you're, what, 10 for 43 last night? I mean, just not even close to good enough from three. So, and that's going to be a problem. You know, you would expect that some of these guys are going to shoot better from three over a longer stretch of games, but not enough to make it significant. And so, I mean, this team has a lot of problems right now, and we could spend probably the whole 3 hours of y'all's show going through them, but we don't have that time.
Does the fact that – How hopeful are you that Zach Edey's back by Cleveland? Can we just read it in the fact that he got, you know, listed as upgraded to doubtful, and hopefully this next one's questionable? Are you, you know, with how desperate things are, the fact they took him on the trip, right? Jess, I think, was telling us, Jessica Benson, and it might have been you, Drew, or maybe you told me first, but, you know, they're coming home before San Antonio, so they didn't have to take him on the trip. Seems like he's close. How hopeful are you that he's back, at least for Cleveland?
The last I heard when I inquired about this was likely but not certain, the Cleveland game. So likely, meaning good chance he's going to play in the game. Not 100%. That was not 100% set as of yesterday. But I think he's likely to be on the floor when we play Cleveland. Yeah.
I ask you that to ask you this. Chances we see Ja back out there. One of the things happened last night, KCP gets hurt. Said now, maybe that facilitates Cedric Coward into the starting lineup, and you got Zach Edey out there. Maybe we're looking at a different starting lineup by Cavs. I'm trying to get out of this, so I'm trying to, you know, let you steer me if you think that's a good possibility.
I think that Zach Edey is gonna probably be limited when he gets on the court, player would be that's been off that amount of time. Like, we don't need to overplay that. Like, of course he's gonna be limited to some degree.
KCP doing. I mean, that's.
But yeah, and KCP's been dealing with an elbow for a while, and then it obviously got aggravated in the game last night. Yeah, no, I at one point in the game, I wondered last night, are we going to have the best five Grizzlies players, you know, available on the court together, or what you would expect the starting lineup to be on opening night? Is it going to be out there on Saturday for the first time? That would be, you know, Ja, Jalen Wells. At some point, we thought Cedric Coward may become the starter. Cedric Coward, Jaren, and Zach Edey. I mean, that's a starting five that actually you would expect can compete. But the way that this team has played this season, they have not been able to find consistent energy and effort on a night-to-night basis. So we'll see what happens. You know, everybody was wanting this injection of life into the team as some of these guys come back. It's just much harder to buy when the team's trending in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. All season long, and maybe had their worst. I mean, the Heat loss was really terrible, but it was early. Mm-hmm. You know, this Boston loss, I would say,
well,
is
contextually,
probably
it's not even close.
Oh yeah, this is the low point.
Because now you know, like, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. Like, it's obviously all out there on Front Street. Everybody's regressing.
Some of what's out there is just misinformation. It is. I mean, like, I try to combat some of the stuff online, but
what do you think is, like, the biggest piece of misinformation?
The Grizzlies were not trying to hire Mike Brown or Mike Malone. That was never a thing. And Ja and Jaren advocated for Isolo. They have the right to change their mind. There's nothing wrong with, you know, like, this happens all the time where players and coaches have a beef that they have to get through. I'm not suggesting that, like, anything was wrong, but, like, it is wrong to say that the Grizzlies were, like, you know, or that there was a push for these coaches. There was never a push for those coaches. It's misinformation. It's just not true. And so, you know, but like, let's, with anything, and I'm a fan of teams too. I'm a fan of Alabama. I'm a fan of the Chicago Bears, right? And when I see, when I'm unhappy with the Bears and I would see things out there that I don't, I'm not attuned to because I'm not in Bears media world or behind the scenes, like if I'm inclined to believe it, I will just believe it.
Right.
Right. I think there's some of that happens. It's just that's fandom, right? Exactly. So I'm not blaming anybody. I'm right. guilty of it too, but that's just that part of it is just, it couldn't have been further from the truth. It's just not true.
Yeah. I just think it's a really gnarly situation. Everybody on the team is regressing, right? That was here last year. Jalen Wells does not look like an NBA starter right now. I'm not saying he never can again, but he doesn't. Jaren, I already went on my rant about Jaren. Ja's numbers, he can't make a three. Santi is like very inconsistent, which I guess that's kind of always.
Santi's actually been better.
Has he been better?
Okay, good last night.
So. Seven straight games. All right, fine.
The European is.
He's like one guy.
Something good.
Yeah. That's what I wrote last night. I was like, we're looking for small things, like anything. Let's just try to pick something out of this game that's positive.
Yeah.
Santi in double figures, seven straight games.
That's going to really go over well with the fan base. The only person that's having a good year is
the
European.
Thank you for coming to work. I mean, that's all we're doing.
At least somebody showed up last night.
No, you're right. And also, like, I do think, we mentioned, Zach Edey and Ty Jerome. Also, no Scotty.
Like, yeah, no, I mean, there's
Scotty was an absolute, like, he is a dog.
Scotty is also a 40% three-point shooter last year.
That's right.
Ty Jerome, 40% three-point shooter last year. Now you got guys out there that can't make a shot that are probably a little bit better than their percentages so far, but, like, that doesn't change the situation. They're not so much better than their percentages that this is going to – that it's going to make a big difference.
I mean, Scotty scored 30 in the game four against the Thunder. Like, he's the only one whose balls dropped in that game for the most part. Like, I put it that way, but like I that was something I'm like, all right, that the Grizz are missing that. There is no question about that.
For sure.
I'm not saying that he would have been the difference last night, but like when we start talking about these non-competitive games, like I do think when you put him in the game, he's a defibrillator in some way.
There's someone else that can put some pressure on the rim.
100%.
Without Ja and without Scotty, there's no one that can put pressure on the rim.
So, okay. Is the rope being let go of? Is that what we're watching 13 games into the season? It feels like it's sort of being let go of, but I don't want to over. People accuse me all the time of overreacting.
Well, yeah, we live in a what have you done for me lately league. I think that the two things can be true at once here. One is that if you were to grade Islo on the job he's done so far, you would not give him a very good grade because it doesn't feel like the team's been bought in.
Right.
That is true.
Right.
I also think that the Grizzlies, maybe more so than people would expect, have moved past some of the drama post-Lakers game, but it doesn't help that Ja and Jaren just simply aren't playing well right now. They're capable of playing better than this, right? And some of the frustration is just that inward, right? Towards themselves of like, we are better players than this and we are not playing well right now. So all the frustration is not pointed in other directions. Some of the frustration is pointed towards themselves. Mm-hmm. And you've heard some of that in these post-game sessions. Like, Jaren's got to be better than he was last night. He's got to be. He is a better player than that. We know that. We've seen it, right? Ja is a better player than what we saw in the Knicks game and what we saw in the Thunder game. He's a better player than that. So while some of this is a lack of buy-in and the effort element of this is certainly some of that falls on the responsibility of the coach, it's also the responsibility of some of these players to play up to their potential. We just haven't seen it.
I agree.
It's a multitude of bad things happening at one time that creates, to use the word again, this mess that the team is now in.
Well, I would just throw this at you. We've done it so openly about Ja, and I think most of us have agreed. And we had to address it because Ja kind of opened up Pandora's box, and you had the whole NBA saying the Grizzlies should trade Ja, like we were back there. And so we all said, well, you would get nothing in return for him. That's part of the reason why you don't do it. Many of us said that. I'm curious, and I'm not suggesting it ever gets here or would go there, but what's that conversation like? Is it similar? Is it similarly difficult in terms of unloading a Jaren, if you looked at him and thought, okay, what would the return look like for him? Is it similarly low? Do you think, well, I mean, you're talking about a former DPOY. You know, a lot of teams might look at him and say he completes us at that price. I don't know. I mean, I don't, you know, I'd have to pull out everybody's, you know, all, how close they are to the apron and all that. But I'm just curious what you think generally the haul would be like, as, you know, compared to what we've said would be pretty much nothing you want for Ja.
Well, to me, the concern with Jaren hasn't necessarily even been the offensive stuff, which everyone tends to focus on. It's that he hasn't been the same player he's been in the past defensively.
Yep.
And that certainly is a negative mark on his value. I do think, you know, we all talk about Zach Edey being able to clean up Ja's misses and set screens and how exciting that. Like, I honestly think Zach Edey's biggest impact is going to be on Jaren.
What he does for Jaren.
Because the amount of space he can eat on the floor defensively that allows Jaren to sort of roam and be a weak side helper where he's been super elite over several seasons. He hasn't really had the opportunity to do that all that much this season.
Yep.
So I do think that Edey is going to help Jaren quite a bit. I think there's reason for optimism for Jaren defensively with Edey coming back. But just generally speaking on the trade stuff, I actually formulated some thoughts on this, and I may end up writing something at some point. The first thing with this is that it's too early for any of this to happen, because any player that just signed a contract this last offseason can't be traded until January or, in some cases, December. So the Grizzlies aren't going to do anything right now because it doesn't make sense. They don't have their full multitude of options to do something right now. I think that's sort of what people don't necessarily understand. And I get it, like, when the Grizzlies are the news because Ja takes a riff with the coaching staff public, everybody will talk about this.
Yep.
But the reality of it is it doesn't really make sense for the Grizzlies to do anything until January, right? So, like, let's keep that in mind here. As much of a mess as the season has been, as weird as it's been, as off as it has felt, the same question is facing this team now that was facing this team when the season started. The question was, do you believe Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson are two stars capable of taking this team to championship contention? That was the question. And the season was going to be about evaluating that and evaluating the pieces that you can put around them. That's been derailed by a lot of injuries so far. We got to give it time to at least see that, first of all. We haven't seen any of that yet because of the situation that the team has been put in. And I think when it comes to Ja specifically, not to go off of Jaren and go towards Ja, but like, there is a.
That's what y'all love to do.
There is a. Yeah, that's what everybody talks about.
I mean, everybody.
We've talked about trading Ja, but with, you know.
Yeah. No, but Jaren's like, oh, no, he's, you know.
No, I know. I think if you're going to unload Ja, then.
I mean, Jaren's
at some point.
Jaren's a guy that you could trick a team into giving you actual value for.
Well, yeah. But my point is this, is like with both of those guys, there's an emotional value that exists with the two of them. Especially with Ja, because of the shoes and the highlights and the loyalty that both of those players have shown to the city when there's this stereotype across the NBA that the star players want to go play in L.A. and Miami and in the big markets, New York. And those guys have been loyal to this place. And so I think the fans are very loyal to them back. So there is emotional value that those two players create for your fan base. They put butts in seats, right? And
I don't think Jaren puts butts in seats. That's me.
Not to the same level of Ja.
I think if, like,
obviously.
If you tell me that Ja's out, Jaren's going to be your I'm not going. Like, that's just me. But I mean, maybe you're right for some people.
There are people that are Grizzlies fans that just support the team in general.
For sure.
Right? Like,
for sure.
If they're both it's out, more about then that, it's like, you know.
Yeah.
But my point, where I'm trying to get to with this is like that emotional value should matter to the Grizzlies front office. But the Grizzlies front office also has to take into account doing what is best for the basketball on the floor, and they have to answer that question the question of, do you believe that those two guys can be star players on championship contending teams? They eventually have to answer that question. They may not have to answer it until the trade deadline or into next offseason, but eventually they're gonna have to answer that question.
Yeah.
And if the answer to that question is no, and those guys aren't playing like that right now, let's be honest. Like, yeah, those guys are not playing like it right now.
Yep.
There's time for them for this to get fixed and time for this to turn around. But that's what this, that's what they eventually have to land on. They have to answer that question. And
well, I think you're hitting on it, which is like, we are probably in the process of getting
of figuring
answer,
that out, right?
And the answer is certainly shaded toward no. I mean, you know, we could sit here and we can wait for all the pieces to. First of all, it's the NBA. It's never going to be perfect. You're never going to have, as we know very well, you're never going to have the perfect complement of players available. I mean, somebody misses a game in the NBA every single night. And so if we're sitting around like Goldilocks, just waiting for the ports, oh, it's too cold, oh, it's too hot, we have to wait for it to be just right, it's just never going to happen. That day's never going to come. So we're going to have to make our best guess and our best educated guess. And I think, again, it's too soon this year.
You got to give it some time to play out. We just talked about it. John and Jaren are better than this. They are better than this. They are better than the way that they have played this season. We know that.
Are they have been better? I don't know if we can necessarily say definitively that they
will
be.
Well, at some point you have to decide if these things that are going on with them are these speed bumps or are these trends, right? Because Ja's changing his game right
now.
He's not attacking the rim.
He's paid the big bucks.
Right, he's going to have to make that decision, and like I think he's going to be afforded the chance to make that decision. I know a lot of, like, he's come under fire too, the same way Isolo has. I think the Grizzlies are going to let him make that decision, and it's a big decision to make. But it may not come until February, may not come until the off season, but the clock is now ticking on that, because if this was a no brainer, guys, if this was a no brainer, and you said the answer to that was yes, you could have extended Ja Morant this offseason. You didn't do it.
You didn't do it.
So,
and people thought he would.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Cool. I think
that was a lot. Sorry.
Well, again,
I think it was a fair assessment.
Well, I wasn't suggesting with the question, and I thought I said it to start, that I think it's time to do that. And you and very thoroughly spent a lot of time on why it's not time. And I agree with that. My question, though, was, like we've done with Ja, what you think of, if you ever did get to that time, what a return for Jaren might look like, and if that value is high or low.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and you kind of hit a lot of stuff for us. I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm just,
no. To be honest,
But if not, I mean, if it's something you don't want to address, that's fine.
Well, no, the reason that I did that was honestly because I spent a lot of time writing it yesterday and thought it through, and then decided that it wasn't time to say that, so then I didn't do it.
Save it. Seriously, because I know I want you to write that first. You know what I'm saying? I don't want you to give away
Answer the Jaren question, though, I do think he would get return. Yes. I think he'd get a good return. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's elements to Jaren or to Ja that don't exist with Jaren.
It is a big
with
contract.
Some of the off the court stuff. Yeah. But it's a huge contract.
But you would tell who? I think a contender would trade for Jaren.
Somebody would say he's the missing piece we need.
That's what I was saying. Yeah.
Whereas I do not believe. I know Miami keeps getting brought up for Ja Morant. Maybe. I mean, maybe Pat Riley is that guy, and he's willing to say, "I'll fix him."
But, Minnesota is an interesting one too. But again, it's like I'm trying to be careful here, Jason, because this is a sensitive situation. And I, as I just said,
understood.
I think there is value to the emotional attachment that those guys have to the city.
I couldn't agree more. I
agree with you.
And I think there would be serious backlash if they decided to do something like that.
Well.
So I'm trying to be sensitive to that, because I think that stuff does matter to me, in my opinion.
But
whether that's going to matter to the franchise, I don't know. But I think it matters.
My counter to that would be, if the longer that this goes on, right, with this disengaged, pouting, you know, both guys are not, producing, I do think the fan base will, in a way, turn on those. I mean, it's a fickle.
Well, right now, the fingers are pointed at Isla.
Oh, no, that's but at some point, they won't be. At some point, it'll be incumbent on the play. I mean, this is the NBA, right, where you are paid handsomely to produce, regardless of, you know, whether or not you agree with the coach or not. I mean, and I don't know what the Grizzlies' plan is with Isolo, how committed they are to him. Like, we don't really have any direction on that. It seems like, fundamentally, they like him. I mean, they went out and got him and paid him and all those things and hired him and all those things. So they're going to have to grit and bear it and produce. And if we're going to sit here and we're going to play – at 4-9 pace, you know, every 13 games, I do think that political goodwill can fade pretty quickly. You know, if the guys aren't, you know, going out there and playing, like if we get more performances like that one from Jaren last night, for example.
I mean, maybe, but they've been so loyal to this place. It's like, that's the thing, you know. Ja's been immensely loyal to Memphis. And so, like, I think people are going to give him a lot of loyalty back. I don't know how you
feel. Dude, he's a star, like, man. You don't trade generational stars, man. You know, you put pieces around that star and you address his flaws. With Jaren, it's and you've talked about it because this is what it is, figuring out if you can win with those two guys. But as you know very well, the issue with Jaren is it's really going to have to be three because he's so chained to needing a specific type of way of winning with him where you need that big center. And there's just – that's the thing. So you better have that guy. It puts so much dependence now on that center position, and it just ties you up. Evan Mobley's making big boy money now. He's blocking shots. He's rebounding. He's past Jaren.
Yep.
He's averaging more points. And that's a big – who's a max big, and you look at him and you say, you know what, you're getting your money's worth.
Mm-hmm.
But with Jaren, you got to get the money's worth, and then you need the Zach Edey, the Steven Adams next to him. And so it's just – he's flawed in but flawed in a way that ties you to something else structurally. Man, I can put 3-and-D guys around Ja, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. to address those things, so long as he's there, because availability's one of those flaws for him.
Right.
But with Jaren.
And so long as he's the same level of player we saw last year in two or three years. Like that's what you're projecting, right? That's what matters.
Because he's not the same guy right now. And I don't, you know. I think he still is that. I'm hoping that he can still be that. He's not attacking the same way, but I think there's still that superstar in Ja. We saw it. We saw call 12 twice this year.
Yeah, right. New Orleans and Phoenix. Great.
We called 12. He looked damn good.
Yeah, he did.
So I know what that does and what my money is getting there. I think you're hitting on something with they didn't do the contract extension. They're leaving themselves some flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy to me, and especially if the return is going to be higher, Drew, and I'm not trying to get here ahead of time, and I didn't mean to put you in an uncomfortable position.
No.
But that's the point. To me, if the higher returns for Jaren, maybe, and you're chained to having to have that center, maybe you can find a different way to win with more pieces.
Yeah.
In a way that's more modern.
Well, my counter to that, and I agree with it. I mean, it's just true.
Just asking the question, not saying that's where you get to.
But if you go and look at 2026, 2027 salaries, and you look at the guys who are making the money that Jaren is making, there's not a single one of them that needs somebody else to be their best selves.
I've looked at this.
I mean, that's the problem.
And Cat is a guy that some would say, but if you look.
But he's going to give you 28.
He's going to give you, and the 12, the 12 and a half rebounds, I think it was that he averaged last year.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that there aren't flawed players ahead of him, but I'm just like.
No, some people throw Cat at me just to point your thing at you. But, you like to have a center beside. It's not, he gets the 12 and a half rebounds.
Regardless.
That's different, right? Regardless. Different than Jaren.
The other thing here to consider is just timeline, right? Because if you were to move off of Jaren, then you have Ja, who would be, by the time you get the full returns of the Desmond Bane trade, it's going to be 28, 29. And then those players are going to have to develop a little bit to have the full amount of pieces around him.
Yeah.
So if you're going to make a trade like that, like for a Jaren, you better get some guys that can play right now.
Absolutely. Oh,
because you can't keep pushing the timeline down the line.
Well, Ja's not going to take that, you know, to your point. Like Ja ain't waiting around that long.
Well, really, it feels like if you trade Jaren, you're just starting over.
I'm just saying, to his point, if you trade Jaren, you better get something that can play right now next to Ja before he asks for out of here. Hey, I can't keep waiting. I'm in year seven. Back to your point, mm-hmm. right? Ja's not going to keep being patient for you put guys around him and wait to develop a new crop of guys. To Drew's point, I agree. If you did decide to trade Jaren, you'd need players that could go right now.
Yeah, you need guys that can play.
I agree with that completely.
You can't wait for Ja to be 31 and then 32 and expect that he's going to be what he was when he was 25.
Exactly.
That's just like, you can't do that.
Like I said, we're already seeing today, like the reckless abandon that he once played with was an advantage.
Well, I don't want him using it out there with a bunch of screw.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
He's not really using anymore, though.
To that point, that's why we didn't mind the off day. For a guy we'd love to see every game, no, man, sit down.
Yeah.
I mean, you're already out there undermanned as it is.
Well, every player like that at some point has a, you know, has a point in their career where, you know, whether it's D-Rose, whether it's Russell Westbrook, whatever, where that, you know, their game fundamentally has to change. And I'm not saying that has to be right now for Ja, but it's coming sooner than people probably like.
Do you guys think that the number, like what the fans want the most, is just for Ja and Jaren to look like the stars again, and then you feel validated and you say, okay, we're going to continue this rebuild around them?
Is totally. That, yeah,
do you that's th- what you've always
do you
told
think
yourself,
that
right?
They're, like, do you think that there's more – I think there's more so that those people – do you think there's people in the other boat that are just, like, ready to move on?
I mean, have you – have there been – am I –
I don't know. I just don't see
I don't
those
think move on
folks
those
out
two.
There. Like, I just yeah. don't see those – like, I don't see that opinion anywhere, you know?
Which one?
I see frustration.
That they're just ready to – that they're just, like, blow it up, start over. Like,
oh, no.
Usually,
no, that's, nobody's,
sometimes fans do get to that point, right? Yeah. Like, with the Cubs, I can remember getting to that point a few different times. It's just like, oh, blow it up, start over.
No, I think most
I just
fans,
don't think anybody – I haven't seen any opinions out there. Of like, everyone that I see is just like, you know,
yep.
we got to get job right.
Well, that
like, we got
to
get
Jaren
right.
That goes to your point about the loyalty, right? Most fans, I think – and I don't. Maybe this isn't true for everybody, but I think most fans are in the stage of blaming Isolo. Most fans are in the stage of it's his fault. He's his system has ruined both of them, and until that changes, you know, they can't be themselves. So I do think that's a stage of denial. You know, because unless the Grizzlies just made some kind of grave miscalculation on the guy, because like I mean I assume they knew exactly everybody involved knew what this was going to be. When the decision was made, I have to believe that Ja and Jaren in the front office. So unless there was a miscalculation, but I think right now the fan base is convinced that it's Thomas Isolo's fault.
I just wish so badly that Ja and Jaren looked right, and so we could just talk about how great Cedric Cowart has
right.
looked. You know, yeah. that's just what that's I wish. I wish so badly for that.
We
because
were
he
like
really is awesome. He's really awesome.
Yeah.
You know,
the kid doesn't deserve a team that's checked out around him either.
Wow.
The way how hard he's playing. What real quick? What are the chances the Phoenix Suns pick that we've all talked about is not a lottery pick? And what happens with that?
High.
Is it? Do you get the hire of Phoenix and?
You. Okay. So there's four teams involved.
Right.
Washington, Phoenix, the Magic, and the Grizzlies. The
Magic.
Grizzlies will get the middle two of those picks, unless the Magic or unless the Wizards. Are outside of the top eight, so obviously they're 1-11.
Yeah.
They're not going to be. So they're going to be in at least in that 5-6
yep.
spot. So I think that there's a decent chance that the Phoenix pick is indeed not a lottery pick.
Ugh.
When you consider what's happening, because you've got you know the Clippers are a disaster right now.
They're a mess.
You know the Kings. You can't really feel good about, and they've got an older roster. You wonder if they're just going to try to move off of guys and get worse. The Pelicans, boy, that one's bad. The Mavericks, they may trade Anthony Davis. So I think Phoenix is going to – Phoenix, who has no incentive to tank at all, is probably going to be better than all those teams, yeah. So we'll see.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. I really don't want to put you in a bad spot, but do you think everybody involved knew – how much friction there could possibly be with Isolo, his style, and this roster? Or do you think they overlooked that or didn't consider it? Or I'm just – because it's not a fit, it feels like, at all.
Well, I mean, Ja was on the same page, right?
I mean,
that's where you start
the players
with that.
Were on
the
same page.
They were with
okay,
it, bro.
So they overestimated or underestimated.
I guess they were wrong. But, like, this is what they wanted. This is who they wanted.
Right. Let's see it with – some shooting and at least Edie.
Yeah.
But I'm with, yeah, it looks bad, John. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, again,
it'll be time for that later.
Yeah. Well, it's that the day of judgment, it cometh.
But folks got to remember, Ja was on board. That's key in this.
Ja was on board. Yes. Ja was on board with Isolo. And look, he
jumped ship.
And then, I made that point online and got blowback, people saying, well, he has the right to change his mind, dude. It's like, yeah, he does. I agree. I agree 100%.
And Ja changes his mind, as we've seen.
And the question just is, when and if that happens, what does the organization do? And I think that's the part that we're watching play out in real time, and it's not good. It's not good right now.
A bear down, Drew. Good things for Bears. Going to beat Vikings this weekend. There is joy there.
Yeah. No, I've been really happy. really happy. watching the Bears, Caleb Williams is big time clutch, and he looks like a franchise quarterback, so I'm pretty dang happy about that. Kyle Manungai might be my favorite player nobody knows about still.
The new David Montgomery, I call him.
He is great. Yep. He is super fun. Runs like a bowling ball. I mean, it's amazing to watch how much the Bears culture has changed. I mean, it was a fun sports weekend last weekend for me, getting to watch the Bears pull off that comeback. Tide Hoops takes down St. John's.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.